Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from the Holy Gospel, but specifically these words this morning. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. This is the word of the Lord given to us this day under the theme, Jesus' victory over Satan frees you forever. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, a man walks into his pastor's office and immediately shuts off the lights. And he sits down in front of his pastors and he says, Pastor, I have sinned a grievous sin. I'm so ashamed. I can't even allow you to look at my face. So his pastor stands up and walks over to the light and flips it back on and says, My brother, you now sit in the light of the Lord. Look to the cross, for there you have forgiveness of sin. You see, my dear friends, no matter the sin that you have committed, there is no sin that is too great for Jesus. Yes, it is true that Satan is strong. As a matter of fact, we have a famous hymn who says that on earth is not his equal. That is true. But you must also know this. Satan is not all-knowing. Satan is not all-powerful. Satan is not God, even though he tries to convince you that he is. Jesus has defeated Satan for you. And here he has bound him. Here the Lord Jesus has set you free. And therefore, there are results of Jesus' victory for each of you. Yes, you are free because of Jesus. And because of what Jesus has done for you, God forgives all your sin. Yet, Jesus did struggle against Satan. That is obvious. Jesus struggled against him in the wilderness, the 40 days of testing. He struggled against Satan all through his ministry, even up to the point of being nailed to the cross. In our text this morning, Jesus' own family even thought that he was crazy, that he was out of his mind, that he must be possessed since he's working all of these miracles. He must be working by the power of the devil. The Pharisees even saw the miracles of Jesus themselves, yet they still continued to proclaim that Jesus' power wasn't from God, oh no. It was from Beelzebul. Beelzebul. A great word. In the Hebrew, it actually means Lord of the Flies. But if we look at it a little bit deeper, it means Lord of Filth. Lord of Filth. For where flies are present, usually on a dead carcass, we know that they are laying eggs and there's a purpose for that. And yes, even the Jews saw that as filthy. So Jesus points out to the people there, and he pointed out to the Pharisees present, that their charges are totally absurd. How can Satan cast out Satan? How can Satan bind himself and cast himself out of his own house? That's like me saying to you, okay, tie yourself up and then throw yourself out of your house. Impossible. You can't do it. There's a famous president who once said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now you know where he got that from. It's true. A nation that fights against itself will eventually fall. Jesus' battle with Satan, my friends, would be won though. It would be won by our Lord Jesus, by your Lord Jesus. Though Jesus wins the battle, he wins the war in a very unusual way. He wins it by dying. He wins by being nailed to his cross. You see, the Heavenly Father chose that his son would die for sin in this very unusual way. And as you look at your insert this morning, it's right there in Genesis, isn't it? You all know Genesis 3:15. There God gave the promise of salvation. He gave the promise of the Messiah. And here that promise was fulfilled. Now the translation here isn't always so good, in my opinion, because Jesus crushed the head of Satan, and yet his heel was bruised as he was nailed to the cross. As most of you know, I spent a lot of time in the military. And in the military, you must have a battle plan. You must follow this battle plan for success. That way, there are minimum casualties, because the last thing that a leader wants is writing letters back to mothers and back to wives or husbands and fathers. And in this battle plan, it helps reduce casualties. But it also ensures success. God had a battle plan, didn't he? That battle plan right here in Genesis 3:15. Yet there was a secret component, a top secret component to his battle plan. Satan did not know this. Remember, Satan is not all-knowing. Satan is not God. Did you hear that? Satan is not God. He doesn't know everything. So there is a secret component to God's plan. The battle plan would be executed, and it would be won not with bicep or mind, not by sword or spear, but by a tree. The secret portion of the battle plan is that the Messiah would die on a tree, just as sin came into the world by a tree or through a tree, at a tree. And this Lamb of God, this Messiah, the Messiah, would shed his most holy and precious blood. This led Satan into a divine trap. As Jesus was being nailed to the cross, Satan truly thought that he had won. But when Jesus proclaimed, "Tetelestai," it is finished, the battle plan was done. The war was over. Satan was defeated right here. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it was finished. The Lord's death sealed Satan's defeat. Then by your Lord's rising again on the third day, his promise of forgiveness of all of your sins was approved by God the Father, accepted. And in the acceptance of the Father, the acceptance of the forgiveness of your sins is also a truth, something that you can believe in and should believe in. So Satan is bound for all time by the forgiveness of sins. As a matter of fact, Satan was just bound here at this congregation this morning. You just confessed your sins. And then there, right there on page 16, you heard the absolution. And in that words of absolution, words that you heard from a man, but actually are words of God, those words have power over Satan. And Satan no longer has power and never did have power over any of you. Prior to the time, though, that you were baptized, he does have power. But now that power has been removed from him, washed away by water and the word and the blood of the Lamb. You see, it's true. If the Son sets you free, you truly are free indeed. There is no doubt. It is assured. Trust in the Lord. Trust what he says. Your sin is forgiven. Yet in our text this morning, Jesus is very clear about blasphemy, isn't he? There is an unpardonable or an unforgivable sin. While it's true that Satan has been defeated at the cross, Satan doesn't give up, does he? He has now turned his anger away from the Son, and he turns his anger towards you, the church. And what does he try to do? He tries to get you away from your Lord. He tries to stop you from making a confession. He tries to stop you from coming here. And he truly tries to stop you from coming here to receive what the Lord gives to you freely. He wants to squash your confession. He wants to squash your faith. He wants to destroy you spiritually. And even though Satan is not God, people listen to him. And in listening to Satan, they are fools. And as Scripture tells us, a fool in his heart says there is no God. Satan relishes in that. He wants you to disavow your confession. He wants you to disavow your Savior. He wants you to die spiritually with him. And therefore, Jesus says that there is an unpardonable sin. Those who truly do not believe that Jesus is their Savior, that God is not God, those who mock God, those who refuse to confess, those who refuse to worship, those who refuse to believe. On the great last day, Jesus is clear. They will be thrown out into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why will the unbeliever, why will the fool weep and gnash his teeth forever? Because on the last day he will see what Jesus said about himself is the truth. He will see Jesus come on the clouds with all the angels and all the saints of heaven. And the unbeliever will fall to his knee seeking mercy of the Lord, but there's no mercy to be had because he refused to believe here on this earth. He turned away from God, and in turning away from God, he is bound by Satan and is dragged into hell with him. Yes, Satan tempts, doesn't he? He tempts you, and yes, he tempts me. He's wanting you to blaspheme. He's wanting you to deny the work of the Holy Spirit. He tempts you to get you to doubt your baptism. Baptism isn't for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism is useless. That's what he wants you to believe. Therefore, don't worry about it. If you're not baptized, that's okay. It's not necessary anyway. He tempts you to get you to doubt that his body and blood is for the forgiveness of your sins. Oh, it's just a memorial meal. It's something that you do to show how faithful you are, or to show how strong a Christian you are. That what Jesus says about his body and blood isn't the truth at all. He gets you to doubt, he wants you to doubt the Lord's word. He doesn't want you to read this book. He doesn't want you to be here to listen to the preached word. He'd rather you stay home, watch television, stay in bed, or do whatever you want to do on Sunday, but you can never be here to hear that your sin is forgiven. For when you hear that your sin is forgiven, Satan is once again bound and will forever be bound. He wants you to forsake, my dear friends, he wants you to forsake your confession. There were a number of adults here last week who made a solemn confession. And now Satan is after them. He wants them to turn away from that confession, to disavow what they have confessed here before God and before these witnesses. He doesn't want them to be here to worship. He doesn't want them to be here to receive. He doesn't want them to hear that their sin is forgiven. He wants them and you and I to deny that Jesus is God and that Jesus is your Savior. And when the fool does that, he blasphemes the Holy Spirit and he is doomed to hell forever. You see, Satan's temptations are just like the man who doubted that Jesus could forgive him there in the pastor's office. That Jesus' work on the cross is also folly. That it's useless. It's a waste of time. It's not for you. You should not trust it. You should not believe what happened here for you. Yet today, my dear fellow Christian, Today, dear beloved of Christ, your Lord is present, for he himself says that he is present. He's present here today to serve you. He's here to proclaim to you and to assure you that you can trust him, that he is your Lord, and that whatever sin you have committed, no matter what that sin is, when you seek his forgiveness, he is always willing to forgive. Remember, God forgives all sin. God forgives your sin today. And whenever in repentance you come, falling on your knees and you confess your sin, he forgives and he forgives and he always forgives. Therefore, my dear friends, come this morning. Come to his table and receive from him his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. For he is here present to serve you. And in serving you, you have that blessed assurance that when you call upon the name of the Lord, you too will be saved. Jesus' victory over Satan has freed you. You are free forever. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.